You know, the famous saying, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't mean anything in parenting. They will do as you do.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families. I am here today with Tom. He's a marriage improvement coach, and you can follow him on social media sites. I'll put the link at the bottom. But he is a father of three children, ages 15, 11, and 9, and he lives in England. And so today we're going to get started with Tom sharing with us, what are the things you believe every father should be doing?
Well, Tim, have you ever heard of the expression, you know, do as I say, not as I do? Well, with parenting and kids, that is the completely wrong attitude to have. I mean, how many times have you seen like angry fathers and they're not living up to the expectations of the children? But when you're raising children, the kind of like either the man or the sort of person they want to be, you have to be yourself. That is how, you know, that's how they learn. They develop like 95% of their modeling scale by the time they're seven, based on how you act as a father, you know, how you act as a husband. So for me, it's setting the example is absolutely completely key for a father to be. You have to be the person that you want your kids to be when they grow up, because that will how you be is how it will last.
That's awesome. Can you give me, draw me a mental picture of one example of what that looks like for you and your family to be that example?
One example for that is, let's just say, hypothetically, you know, we're all sat around the table, you know, you've got a nice glass of a drink on the table. Your kid walks around, they knock it over. Some fathers would go absolutely crazy. They'll lose their mind. They'll start screaming, shouting. I mean, especially probably people from our sort of generation, which is the dads were more very shouty back in the day. But I find it's more helpful to increase a more sort of solution sort of problem to it. Like, oh, don't worry, it's just a drink. It is not the end of the day. No use crying over spilt milk. You know, how are we going to solve this problem? You know, you're going to clean it up yourself. You made the mess. You do that. So I find that is like a fine example. Right? In times of crisis, you know, how you handle like an argument with your wife, you know, start screaming, shouting, set such a poor example. It's just about what is the ideal situation you can do to resolve any sort of form of problem? Do that. Do exactly that. It's one of those skills that you do have to develop over time, but it's such a key aspect it's always very hard to do it every single time, but it is absolutely key that you can sort of nail it. So yeah,
that's good. You talked about self-control. What's another ideal that you value?
So self-control, another ideal is and again, this is one where I do struggle with myself to do. This is what I have to learn to do, is I feel like you got to be more emotionally connected to your child. I feel like, as you know, as like a man, as a father, you know, you sort of grow up like, you know, you are not to have emotions. You carry the world in your back and you do it strong, and I do think you should be like that in a sense, but I also feel like you should be a lot, you know, you should feel comfortable enough to sort of, if you are struggling, to sort of tell the people that are close to you, you know, that you are struggling, rather than build up and letting it out in such an angry or violent explosive way. Again, that is something that that's something I personally still need to work on myself, because I do not share my, you know, thoughts or feelings. If I'm stressed, I will swallow that up and just sort of like, nope, don't want to show that weakness. So I think that, you know, that is another thing that I know I would love to be able to do. It definitely takes a lot of work to do as well. Yeah. But yeah, sort of showing that emotional.
Can you give me an example of where that's gone well, and then give me an example of where maybe that's gone not so well?
Well, let's just say, for instance, you know, if I've been at work and that, and it's been a rough day, I've got home and I'm obviously in a bad mood. I'm just like, oh, to be honest, I've just had enough. And the kids are like, they're bickering amongst themselves. They're arguing and you're just like, oh man, shut up. I'm not in the mood for this. Now, things might have gone differently if I went, kids, come on. Like, you know, I've had such a bad day. Can you help me out? Because they'll probably be glad to help me out, but rather than swallow it and then get to the point where I'm just going to say, right, go to your room, shut up. You know, it is, I think there is always a better way to handle it. And sometimes you've got to really have that emotional intelligence into you as a father to sort of understand where you can and cannot sort of show that weakness and understanding.
So you talked about the coming home from work, you're stressed, you're frustrated maybe about your day, and now your kids are creating an additional stressful environment just by the very nature of being themselves. They're not doing anything wrong necessarily, but they're just kids. And what is something that you do that helps you practice the emotional availability skill?
Yeah. Well, what I would recommend is, and this is something that I do sort of do when I do have, when I have had enough, is you try and explain to them that you've had a bad day. And as a family, we're a team. One of the teammates is going down. He's fallen emotionally. We got to build him back up. So it's their job to cheer you up. And they will be almost mix it into a sort of game where they'll be then sort of excited to sort of try and cheer you up. They'll want to do like nice things to you, and they'll give you a nice hug and a nice cuddle and or play games for you. And just sort of that quality time with your children will make you forget the stress of that day, because it's taken away. You're not thinking about it. You're thinking about right there about being in the moment with your children. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, and it's such like a sort of a special time, and, you know, and it shouldn't be a chore for you. It should be like an absolute pleasure, because the kids, children, they grow up so fast. And like, mm-hmm. you know, you only get a few years when they're in that sort of young stage, and then they're grown up, and it's like time to fly the nest, so to speak. So definitely make the most of enjoying them when they're young and happy and optimistic, you know, and excitable.
So when that happens, you would recommend, or you do yourself, if you've had a stressful day, you communicate that out loud to your children. Hey, I've had a stressful day. Can you help me just see the good that's going on right now? And I liked what you said about teamwork too. That's really good to think about. You're a team. This isn't me separate from you guys. This is, we're all together at the dinner table or at home. So maybe can you expand on that idea of teamwork a little bit more? I love that.
Oh yeah. So that's probably like one of my key sort of pillars of my house. Like, I'll always refer to the family as a team, you know? So for instance, you know, it shouldn't be always be down to the mum to do all the cooking and the cleaning. You know, it's like, well, what are we doing? Come on, we're a team. Let's help her out. You know, anything to do with like chores around the house at the end of the day, it shouldn't be someone just to like stuck doing everything. We're a team. We've got to help each other out. You know, like I said, when one is emotionally down, you know, someone's having a tough time at school, you know, you're a team, you're a family at the end of the day. You are united, you know, until the end. So whatever happens, it's like you've got to have each other's back. And sometimes being a team and teamwork is such sort of a well sort of easy to understand process, because they see it in sports, they see it in like class, and that they get put into teams. But it's also such an important aspect when they get into the, you know, the real world out there, and you know, they start either playing like sports and stuff, when they start going for jobs and that, you normally get put into sort of teams and departments. And about having that sort of unity when you're with your team, like your team, they've got to be important to you, you know, whether it's your family or if you're going to work and you've got your work team, like, you know, you've got to be that great leader and sort of, you know, get everyone through it together. And that's, I think that's, as human beings, I think that's our sort of one of our responsibilities, is to help each other where we can. Mm. Yeah. So I'm big on that whole team premise.
I love that. What do you want your kids to learn from this idea of teamwork?
Well, I mean, it sort of goes hand in hand with a lot of aspects of life. When they start their own family, I want them to think like, you know, they can rely on their partner, whether it's the husband or wife, depending which kid it is, you know, that they can rely on them to help them out, along with wanting and willing to help their partner out with such things. When they have children, you know, I want them to have the same mentality, where it's not, you know, where you do have to sort of, you know, help them, but also sort of allow them responsibility by helping you. You know, my kids will, you know, they're old enough to like make me a cup of tea and a cup of coffee, and they'll be like, yeah, go on, Casey, make me a cup of coffee. She'll happily do it. They're like busy doing something else. So I just think it's a strong value. You know, when you get to jobs and that, I mean, you hear about colleagues, you know, they do try to like manipulate people, try and get themselves ahead. But I find that just that, you know, being the fact that you're a solid unit together. But then again, I do come from like a massive military background as well. So, I mean, I've been in the military for like 15 years now. So being part of that team has always been like sort of, you know, very embroidered into me. I mean, it's not that I was, that's the crazy thing. This is ideologies that I've sort of learned over time and just really sort of brought my own traditions into the family, because I come from a bit of a broken home myself. So, and that's where I was like a bit slow getting into it. You know, I had a lot of problems in like my marriage and like family life. I was always away on deployments and that. So just where I've started to rebuild and sort of recreate my own sort of encyclopedia on family life is how I've really sort of gone into development. That's how I got into marriage coaching, you know, because, you know, 95% of the, you know, modeling they get from their parents, how they handle each other is how they go into their future relationships. And I think, I think it's just something that just people need definitely a lot more help with.
So you feel like for you, you didn't grow up with that team mentality in your own family, but you you got some of that from the military, from seeing teamwork in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
That's interesting. So did you have to draw a line somewhere? Cause there's probably some things about teamwork in the military that don't work in the family, I would imagine.
Oh no, no, of course not. Like, and it wasn't so like, lovey-dovey in the military. In the household, it's a different mentality, but the aspect of achieving like the goals together, and the aspect of sort of working together to make, you know, more hands make light work, and sort of helping each other out and everything. Those aspects of the teamwork, not the, not so much the emotional mentality of it. I mean, they were just like work colleagues. We had a laugh. I mean, I believe you'll be talking to Craig Madden soon. You've got an interview schedule of him. Me and him were in the military together, so like that's cool. We go back, so and we still communicate pretty much daily to this day. So yeah, it's just, you get like a nice solid foundation, and I think I have sort of incorporated the actual work aspect of team, but I've just sort of incorporated into a family sense. And like my 15-year-old, all my kids are absolutely lovely as well. Like, I can't even say a bad word about them, which, you know, one's 15, which is actually quite a terrifying age, but it's been an absolute pleasure. I can say that. So I can say that with an honest heart. So yeah,
that's good. Well, the proof's in the pudding, so they say, right? You know, that what works or doesn't work. I want to hear more specifics. Like, okay, so you're at the dinner table, or you come home and you're stressed, and you imagine it as a team, or you think about it as a team. And so when you talk to your kids or your wife, you think about that, hey, we're working together for a greater purpose. So two questions. I want to hear, what is that greater purpose that you're shooting for? And then also, what are some other ways, some other situations where that idea of team comes into play? Like, what are some other things you do with your family that, that incorporate that principle?
Okay. So I find the importance, like the value of it is it makes everyone family feel like they're cared for. If like, you know, you get a lot of people that get, they feel like, you know, the black sheep of the family, they feel distanced from the family. Mm. Like when you try to get everyone working together, everyone just feels so united. They feel part of a family. They feel like they're, everyone's close. Like they can all talk to each other. And I think, you know, and it's very easy in the world to sort of, you know, fall into a wrong crowd, start going down the wrong path. And then like the family, the sort of values that you have, they do sort of bring you back in together. I mean, and it goes for all of them. You know, if the kids have, you know, have had a bad day at school, I will certainly do my best to help them. If the wife, you know, she's been really stressed out. I mean, she suffers with lupus disease. So if she's like feeling ill, then I can do a whole day at work and then come home and I'll do all the cooking and cleaning so she can rest. Because right now she's poorly, you know, if she, you know, she's got work in the evening, she might work in the evening as well. So I'll help out. And I think it just makes people, I feel like it makes the family feel close and it feels loved. And I think as a family, that's something that you just really, really want to happen. That's what you want in your family. You want to come home and you want to see them all smile when they see you. You want them to go, and they want you, they all run up and come give you a hug. Mm-hmm. Like, even like the 15-year-old now still come give me a hug as soon as I walk through the door. And I love that. And I think that's something I would hate for it to change. And it would be like, you know, when they grow up and they have their own families, I would love for them to have that family dynamic as well, but they are so close and united as a family. 100%.
That's wonderful. Now you mentioned something there. So before you talk about another place where teamwork applies, another specific situation, you mentioned something, which is you're also a team member in this team. That when you see your wife or your kids struggling with something, you want to jump in and help them out. Maybe you're the encourager in that moment. Maybe talk a little bit about that. Like, what does that look like?
Well, I'm the encourager. So, you know, I will sort of be the more lead of like the sort of family, because, you know, it's like, you know, as the father, I am sort of, you know, I do lead it. I do orchestrate it. You know, if like, you know, if, for instance, the mom's stressed out, and I'll say to the kids, like, mom's stressed out, how are we going to help her? How are we going to make her feel better? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'll like sort of guide them to make them come up with a solution on how to make mom better. But like, oh, we'll do dinner, Dad, shall we? Yeah, okay, we'll do dinner. So that's how I will sort of lead the aspect of it, mm-hmm. to try and, you know, keep it a family friendly, you know, family happiness. Like, but you know, if I'm having a bad day, the kids, you know, they'll make me my brews. You know, right? For instance, right now, like, you know, we got back from. So I did a 12-hour work shift before this call, but I had to do judo, like their little judo trainers. I took all three kids to judo. I got back probably about 15 minutes before this call. And they were like, normally they'll come chill out, watch the telly for a bit, but they're helping me out. They're like, go on, Dad, you understand? We got a call. Sometimes I have clients in like the weekends and that during the day, they'll all go disappear up into their rooms. We'll take the living room and they'll give me that respect and the peace to make sure I got to do what I got to do. And then in return, I'm like, oh, you know, so that's what I mean. It's like, it's a unity. It's not about one taking everything or giving everything. It's about, you know, sharing the load sort of thing. Obviously the kids, obviously
less so
sense applies, you know, you got all these financial problems and, you know, everything going on. The last thing you want to do is stress out the younguns with all these problems, but they can understand still that you are also stressed, and they can do these little gestures, these small gestures to make you feel better. And that, you know, and you show appreciation to that, and they'll take that into their lives and into like their married lives as well, because those small gestures are absolutely key. So yeah, it's just those, just stuff like that, that's just keeps it going.
I love that. There's a really neat definition of love that I've been drawn to over the last few years. It's by a gentleman named Paul David Tripp. He's an author and a counselor here in the US, and his definition of love is it's willing self-sacrifice for the good of someone else without expecting anything in return. And it sounds like you're very good at that. It sounds like you're trying to teach your children how to, at times, sacrifice their own desires. For example, you know, you said they like to come in and watch the TV, and they're willing to go, we'll give that up today, Dad, because we know what you're trying to do. We know that you're trying to do something good, and we're going to give that up for today. And then vice versa, you know, you come home from work and you might be tired yourself, but you see one of your kids is down, and you're willing to put that aside for a time to help your kid out. And so I guess I think about that definition of love, and I it sounds like you're describing that idea of sacrificing part of yourself for the good of somebody else willingly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. But you know, it's your family. So, you know, you'll feel happily doing it. That's the beautiful thing. You say, yep, I'll happily sacrifice this time. I mean, I, you know, deep down after a 12-hour day of work, I did not want to go drive, you know, all the way to judo and sit in a loud hall where they're all like doing like their competitions and that, and their throw and then drive back. Like, I would have happily gone. They went, Dad, I don't want to go there. I'm like, oh, thank God. But they wanted to go. They were happy to go. So I was definitely happy to take them, because I know it means a lot to them. So I wasn't going to cancel it for the sake of my own selfishness. I'd be like, no, you've been good. You know, you've done a lot. Let's go. And we go every Tuesday and every Thursday. So, yeah, and I'll stand by it.
That's great. So we've talked about teamwork. You were going to give me one other example where that idea of teamwork has played out in your family life, if you can think of one, of course. You mentioned coming home from work and the dinner table. Maybe there's another example somewhere that sticks out in your mind.
Well, okay, that's a, maybe have a little think.
Like a little story.
Like a little story. Wow, that's a tricky one. That I'm just trying to think now. Like, it's been so much going on.
Vacation.
Okay. Big one that we got. Obviously, I mentioned that my wife is she's got lupus disease. So before she was diagnosed, she was in the hospital for like quite a few days. My eldest is like old enough to look after the little two. And obviously we lost the mum at this time. She was in the hospital. Now I would then have to obviously go to and from the hospital. It's about a 40-minute drive. It's quite a little bit of a journey. But I would get her, I'd manage to check her out to the hospital and I'd bring her home. And the kids would, whilst I was driving there to go get her, the kids would make the house, make sure it was nice and tidy. They'll do that. So I think, you know, the element of teamwork in a family sense is the children sort of, they grow up and they're like already wanting to, willing to sacrifice. They already understand the values of the household. Yeah. So, and like, do you get what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Did you, so in that situation, did you ask your kids to do that or did they?
No. That's the thing. I just went and got there. Cause I wasn't even expecting her to bring her back. And I messaged my eldest, said, oh, your mum's coming home for a bit. Cause so she can have a nice bath and that. And they went upstairs, they tied up the bathroom, you know, got it all like nice and set up for her so she can get comfortable and like, you know, and they made sure it's all nice. And I got home and I was like, your kids, that was really, really kind of you. Cause she got home, she was so happy about it. I mean, obviously, I was describing like every situation is like completely perfect. Obviously, it's, you know, the real world is not like that. And the house, of course, has its absolute dark moments and people do have their fallouts 100%. But it's the fact that we deal with the fallouts and, you know, we deal with the conflicts and we handle it, you know, between themselves or between each other. Obviously, me and the wife, we're going to have fights, you know, been married for 11 years. You know, there is no amount of marriage coaching that will stop fights. It's how you handle the fights is absolutely key. So,
are there things that you say that emphasize that idea of teamwork? Like, do you have, phrases that you say or, conversations that you have on a regular basis that, that emphasize that?
Well, I'll always say, like, we're a team, aren't we? We're a team. We got to have teamwork. And I'll say, you know, it's like, oh, mum's part of your team, isn't she? Oh, Sophia, she's part of your team, isn't she? Charlie, part of your team. Part of the team? Come on then, come get involved in the team. Like, that's it. I mean, it's very sporty sort of thing, but I'm not actually that much of a sporty guy like anymore. But it's just, it's more the camaraderie, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, the unity that the team sort of brings into that family household. And that's what's,
that's great. And you, about. And you lead that with your attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So what are, let's move on to something different. What is another important, so we talked about teamwork. That was a big one. And, we talked about setting an example. Do you have another item that you think every father should be doing, or something that you excel at that you think that you maybe assume every father is doing? Do you have another item like that? So we talked about the example.
Yeah. I will say emotional intelligence.
That's
now,
right.
what I mean by this is, right, we were all kids once. We know kids aren't going to be perfect. You know, you're not going to like everything you do. What your kid is, but the more you lose your temper or you lose your mind over the little things kids do, the more they'll try and hide it from you in the future. So the more of like a supportive role, you don't have to like it, of course you don't, and it's like, and it is scary, but it's how you sort of have a deep breath, you calm yourself down, but then you try and handle it in such a in a father figure kind of way, in sort of like, you know, you can be stern, you can be like, no, that's unacceptable, you need to, and like sort of use your wisdom as you've grown through the years to, you know, incorporate a lesson into it 100%. But I find, you know, parents that, you know, when they go absolutely ballistic, you know, they, you know, start screaming, shouting, you know, the house starts like getting smashed up, and that is just, it's such a bad approach, because It's not that they won't do it. They'll just make sure you don't find out they won't do it. Whereas if, you know, they come to you with problems and that, or the more you handle these problems, like that started from a young age, you're building up, the more they'll constantly come to you and they won't feel they're so alone. So even if you don't like it, like for me, like for instance, for me, it was when my daughter started getting boyfriends and like, You know, it was like a, oh my God, that's a big parenting change of like mindset right. Where you're like, I don't like it, but like, I've obviously thought about this and like, I knew it was coming, you know, 15, of course they are, but so you understand it. Mm-hmm. All you can be is like, be that supportive role, give, you know, I give relationship advice and that, but she'll come to me with her problems now. And that's good. That's what I want, you know, and it is, but it does take like that hurdle where you do have to go, I don't like this, but I have to accept it.
Yeah. Can you remember back to one of those early conversations and walk us through what that looked like? Doesn't have to be the boyfriend one. It could be any other situation where you felt like you were able to maybe communicate your emotions effectively, and that assisted in the growth of your relationship with your children.
Yeah, so I think as an example, actually, yeah. So with my eldest, when she started secondary school, obviously, you know, the flavored vapes that you get like in schools now, they're all like the trend, kids don't smoke anymore, they all vape.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she got caught vaping before. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to lose my cool because I was not happy about that one bit. But I was like, I gotta remember, like, you know, of course kids are vaping it. They like got tropical bubble gum and stuff like that. It wasn't like cigarettes from like back when like we were all in school. Mm-hmm. No, so like, you know, I did show that massive amount of disappointment, but the way that I like the way I handled it was the fact that it wasn't like I'm angry at her for doing it. I'm angry at her because she made a bad choice, and those bad choices that Lee have upset me. She let me down at that point. And for her, that sort of made her like think about her actions affecting me or affecting a mother. And then she packed it in and she was like, sorry, she actually didn't want to do it again. She felt so bad, like, because I used to be a smoker anyway, and she told me to quit. I was like, hey, you can't do that. So I quit for you, and you can't start vaping now. That doesn't count. Yeah, but again, it was like, you know, you don't want to lose your temper, but you know, you want them to understand that they've, you know, that they disappointed you. You can't, otherwise, if they don't realize, then they'll just carry on, you know, doing things they're not supposed to. The kids at the end of the day, you got to give them some guide. You got to give them the guidance, and you got to set the examples.
So it sounds like you were able to communicate without exploding your disappointment. Yeah. And did you say it out loud? Did you say, I'm disappointed in you? Or did you say,
I looked at it, because I don't really ever explode anymore. I find there's no need to. I used to be a lot more of an angry dad when they were, you know, younger, and I didn't know any better because I had an angry dad. So I was like, that was like the normality. It was only sort of like, as I learned, as I went on, that I found actually just having like a serious deep conversation with them and expressing to them that how much they, you know, they've hurt me by doing something like this, I find they listen to more. It wasn't like, oh, that's pissed off. My bad. Yep. Make sure I won't get caught next time. But having actually a deep understanding about why I'm annoyed is something that they can sort of more understand. And yeah.
Did you do anything to, I guess, help yourself be able to communicate those things? Because I imagine there's a lot of dads out there who get into that ballistic situation and they've just never been able to sort of say the words in a non-explosive way. And did you do anything? Did you journal? Did you just start one day? What was the realization moment for you going, why am I doing this?
I remember, I can't remember what it was about, but I remember I lost it and I shouted really loud. And I think it was like, you know, the fear, like you look like that you get from them when you lose your temper, you lose your cool. And I hated that one. And I
like,
was like, I crushed them. And I was like, what an absolute ass I am. No, that's not cool. And then when you get like that sort of realization, you think, I shouldn't have shouted. I shouldn't have screamed them like that. They were absolutely terrified. That was a bad dad moment. And then you think, and what did they even achieve? Just get the crap out of them a bit and just made them like not really have that much trust in me. So it is something that, you know, it's not something you just change one, you know, over day, but you sort of, it is something like a skill, like a mindset, or a sense of peace that you have to sort of adapt and overcome and, you know, develop yourself. It's personal growth, personal development.
Yeah.
And like I said, this was years and years and years ago now, like 10 years ago now, probably since.
Yeah. I wouldn't encourage people to become fathers solely for this reason, but I think one thing about fatherhood that is amazing is that we have this accountability in our children to show us what we're like, and they don't even know that that's what's happening. So, you know, a situation like that happens, or we're just, maybe we're talkers, or maybe we have phrases that when we hear someone else say it, we don't like it. And the irony is then when you hear your kids say it, you wonder, where did they hear that from? And then you suddenly realize, I guess I do say that sometimes. I guess I do say it like that sometimes. Maybe I am a little rude sometimes. Maybe so I love that, you know, and I think, from, you know, my worldview, I'd say God gave us kids in some way to show us who we are, to show us something about ourselves, and to reveal something that no one else can really do it. You know, there's no other person that's close enough, maybe a wife, you know, maybe a close, you know, partner, but even that's a little bit more distant than the way kids reflect our own vices and our own strengths. So
well said, 100%. And like I said, you know, what I said at the beginning, like, you know, the famous saying, do as I say, not as I do. It doesn't mean anything in parenting. They will do as you do. Be who you want them to be.
No, that's really good. Yeah, it's it should be do as I do and do as I say.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. What would be the thing that you're most afraid of? You know, given your three sort of these kind of big items that you value, the teamwork, emotional connection, and setting the example.
A fear would be the kids to that, you know, especially as they grow older and then, you know, they move away, that they all of a sudden wouldn't want anything to do with you. Like, I mean, I rarely ever talk to my family, like any relatives. Like, I'm so sort of disconnected from, and I often think I really hope I don't have this that sort of same relationship with my children, where I speak to them like once or twice a year. I would love to see them on, like, you know, bring them over for Sunday dinner, you know, bring the grandkids, you know. So I would hate for it to be where I've distanced themselves so much that they're just strangers almost. I think that'd be a bit of a fear for me. Like, I want to be like a close family until the end. Yeah, 100%. Like, with them and like, you know, their grandkids, I want to meet, you know, their partners as they grow up, and I want to be more involved. You know, I'm looking forward to being a grandpa and being like that again. They're all getting a bit older now, like,
No, I love seeing when my mom comes over, or my father-in-law. I love seeing how much my kids love them. They just love seeing them. It's so exciting for them to have grandpa and grandma come over, and that would be a treat one day for yourself and myself to be in those shoes and have the 2-year-old run up and grab onto your leg, you know, and want to let go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a magical feeling. And hopefully, you know, with like the values and the closeness we have, that should be a reality, even if they move far away, like, we have to at some points for like work and, you know, business and that, or partners, you know, we do move away a bit. Mm-hmm. But I like to think we'll try and keep that sort of strong connection, even if it's just like video calling a lot, or then making the effort to go on those like trips to see the family. I 100% would love to keep that, like, them in my lives closely as like as they are now, but obviously in their own, flying the nest, doing their own bits. And I want to, like, you know, I want them to know that I'll be there on every step of their journey. And you know, so my fear would be like the fact that they, you know, they lose interest, or, you know, maybe I, you know, I might get myself distance, you know, because I definitely ain't perfect. And I like to say, hope my mindset stays in the right place, and I hope theirs does as well. So I'm hoping to maintain that sort of family life. It's important, you know, it's the most important thing on this world is your kids and your and what they can do.
It's incredible to think that the impact that you have on your children won't just affect them, but it will also affect their children and their children's children, that, you know, you can have an impact on generations, even beyond your, they may never remember your name, but you'll have an impact on them.
Decades
and even centuries potentially down the road.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, that's why I got into my marriage improvement coaching. That's why I help husbands, because, you know, it's a whole, it's, you know, especially when you get children involved, it can be such a stressful time and such a hectic time. You know, a lot of people separate, or, you know, if they are like single fathers, for instance, you know, having a good relationship with the mum is still like absolutely important, and try and have that co-inhabitant sort of co-parenting bond still. You know, you'd have to be with each other, but, you know, it's just maintain a good relationship. The kids will learn from it. And then, again, that's just how you do it. Every situation is differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you still got to be a team, especially when you've got kids together. So yeah, so that's what I've got into, like, my line of work, because it is important for the kids, because they'll grow up looking at mum and dad, and that's the sort of relationships they will have when they grow older, because that's who they aspire to, that's who they will aspire to be like, and that's the kind of stuff they will expect in their relationships. So yeah, that's why I got into my very career itself.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's great for today. Thank you, Tom, so much for meeting up with me today.
You're welcome, Tim. It's been absolutely great chatting to you.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.